fun of me. So, just a couple things, or maybe just one thing. 2 weeks ago, I think it was, that Doug, when he introduced Pastor Mike as our new associate pastor, that wasn't a misspeaking, but he is officially and has been our new associate pastor. We brought him on board last week, so I pray that you guys would get to know him. And on the 16th, he'll be speaking, and afterward, we'll have like a meet and greet. Hopefully, you guys will be meeting and greeting him before the 16th, so don't wait till then. But it'll be a little more intentional on the 16th. I'm sure we'll have some kind of food, although we are going to get really food heavy this week or this month, because like the 15th is a cleanup day here. So I'm announcing that it's a cleanup day here. So we'll have some things to get ready, you know, get rid of some things and get the place kind of spruced up a little bit. And those that like to do outside window washing, it's going to be a good time, because my window washer doesn't want to do. I mean, no, I asked her. And she does a good job, and I said we will take care of that for her because we appreciate everything she does. So anyway, so the 15th, we're going to have a barbecue after the cleanup day. So we'll be eating then. So the 16th, when we have the meet and greet, there'll probably be some finger food, but it won't be a potluck. And then there's Mother's Day, and then there's, like, we're eating a lot this month. So it's going to be good. We like to eat, right? No? Okay. All right. Wow, this is going to be a lively service. All right, well, let's open with a word of prayer. Father God, I thank you for this morning. I thank you that we can just come together and just worship you this morning. And Father, we pray for those family members of ours that aren't here this morning. Hopefully they're out enjoying themselves. Maybe they're on vacation or whatever's going on with them. And Father, I know there's some that are out because they're not feeling well this morning. And Father, we just lift them up right now to you as we already have this morning, that we just lift them up and we just pray that you would just touch their bodies and just let them feel your healing presence this morning, and just in a really unique way. Father, I just also just pray as we just continue this morning, as we worship, as we hear from your word this morning, that it would just really spark something in our hearts and minds that we weren't expecting. Father, we just thank you for what you're doing in our lives, and thank you for the work that you're doing in and through us, in our community, in our world. We just pray that you would just continue to do that. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and worship.
Trusting in his grace, he's our all. You walked in the blood of the Lamb. Have that heart of gratitude. Lord, may we practice that gratitude. I heard something about that yesterday, about practicing gratitude in everything, so that when everything crashes, it's almost like an instinct, that we are gratitude in everything for you, Lord, because you are constantly faithful. You are never changing, always constant. That is who we can rely on, who we put our trust in, our cornerstone, Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Cry to you.
Singing words about I surrender. It really hit me as we were going through practice this morning. Am I singing truth or am I singing a lie? I think so often we get in the routine of singing words. We come in Sunday after Sunday and I pray it's just not a routine. I pray it's just not a familiar favorite song. Are you really getting the impact of the words? Are you singing truth or are you singing a lie? There's some pretty good truth here. Do we have this heart attitude? Do we have this physical posture from time to time that we need to literally get on our knees in the quietness of a room? We're out wherever you need to be in your place where you can surrender. Think about that as you're singing the words this morning. The And some of you might not be able to sing the words. Let us sing the words over you. Let the people next to you that are singing, sing them over you. Receive that this morning. Let Father break your heart if it needs to be broken to be surrendered to Him. So let's think about that as we sing.
I want to
Heavenly Father, we surrender all to you, Lord. May that be the posture of our heart. Giving you everything because you gave everything. All we have to do is turn and say yes. You are not far behind, Lord. You are right there beside us every step of the way. You are faithful. You are trustworthy. May we turn and seek your face in all things. In Jesus' name, amen.
It's really quiet today. Did you guys have a good week?
Yep.
All right. Some days I wonder. When they say, I was glad when they said to me, let's go into the house of the Lord. Some of you don't look very glad this morning. I need to get stand up and do jumping jacks or something, or that might be a little hilarious, but I don't know. I won't make you do that. You'll have to do it too. That's not pretty. So really, really awesome to be here this morning. We are in 1 John, though. I don't have to say that anymore. Or I don't get to say that. Or I don't know what the right word is. We're not in 1 John anymore. We finished that last week. I know. My Bible's like broken to just fall open to 1 John because that's where it's been for the last 2 years almost. But yeah, so it was really interesting. I was talking to Pastor Mike's, you know, always has been challenging me, but now that he's my associate, he's even challenging me more. So what are you preaching on this week? I'm like, I don't know, leave me alone. You're not on the clock yet. But he is. So it was really interesting. I was like, I don't know. I was like, man, do I start into the series? And it's like, I mean, I have all these things that Father's been talking to me about, but and we got Mother's Day coming up next week. So I was like, man, where do I start? And so I'm like, you know, when I go through my devotions, I don't know, it probably doesn't happen to you because you may not have the same mind, and that's okay, of a preacher. But when you're reading your devotions, it's really hard not to, like, go into message mode. And so for me, I have to take whatever Father's shown me as a message and write that in a book or a piece of paper. And so I have scratch papers all over the places, sermon ideas, just the reference and maybe whatever the thought is, just a bullet point thought. And so I was like, okay, maybe that's where I need to go. And it's kind of fascinating because Father took me back to a scrap of paper that I had. I found it, which is awesome. That's a miracle in and of itself in my office. Some people like sticky notes. I like, you know, scraps of paper that were something else that I've torn in half, and I have stacks of paper. Tammy loves sticky notes, so there's sticky notes all over her office. So if you want to communicate with her, put it on a sticky note. It'll get to her. She loves that. So I found this piece of paper, and it was, so we've been in 1 John, now we're going to go all the way back to the beginning of the Bible, not the first book. We're going to be in Exodus today, to a passage of scripture that Father gave me, a couple years ago, at least. I didn't write the date down on it, but it's been sitting in my office for a couple years at least, just the idea. And as I was kind of diving into it even more, Father, obviously, as he always does, gives me more scripture to look at. But what the whole point of this, what land has Father called you to take? Because he's called us all to take some kind of land in our life, and some of us already know what that is, and some of us don't know. But I believe with everything that I am that I believe that Father has all of us a land to take. He's put us in different places in society, whether it's our jobs or whatever it is. There's a land to take. And yes, we're gonna be looking at the children of Israel and God's command to them to take the land. And his commissioning to them. And we're going to look at some scripture this morning. But through this whole thing, I want you to be always in the back of your, or in the forefront of your mind. If you already know what that land is, start thinking about that in the context of these passages of scripture this morning. Because it's just fascinating to me as I think about it. We have talked over and over and over as long as I've been here about how Wasilla is our land to take. And Devonna prayed last week about the giants that are in our valley. Just like the children of Israel face these giants going into the promised land, if we set a committee out into the Mat Valley, out into Wasilla, and we focused on the giants in our land, we would come back and go, it's impossible. Right? Like 10 out of the 12 committee men when they went into the promised land, right? They came back. It's impossible because there's giants. And Joshua and Caleb goes, yeah, there are, right? But so often we get our eyes focused on the giants of the land. What land has Father asked us to take? It may not be taking on a social injustice. Maybe our land is raising our children up to be godly men and women. I believe that's all of our calling, by the way, if you're a parent. I'm just going to alleviate that and tell you that's one of your lands that you got to take, right? Because we have seen coming through our doors even, I hope that we continue to have children that come through the doors that cause some problems in our children's department. Why? Because they're bad kids? No, because they don't know better. They don't know that there's a right way to talk and there's a wrong way to talk and there's a right way to act and there's a godly way to act and there's a way that they don't have a clue that saying whatever they're going to say is the wrong thing to say. I can't wait till the day we have a lot more youth here and we have a youth program and we have kids coming in that drop F-bombs in youth worship. Oh, sign me up, right? Now we're going to educate them, right? That's a lazy way to talk. But I'm going to be excited that I got kids coming because they don't know any different. Because to them, it's just a word. Right? So what land has Father called us to take? I think he's called us to take things individually, and I think he believes he's called us together, jointly here in this body, to take land. And I think this is, I don't think, because it's kind of interesting, Father's like, you know, you're starting a new season. We're starting a new season with Pastor Mike coming on. He's going to change the culture of this church just because of who he is. Are you ready for that? Are you ready for him? See, he's been speaking into my life for the last 6-7 years. Now it's your turn. It's going to be a good time. I invite you highly to have conversations with Mike, with Jan, his wife. I don't know her as well because I don't spend every once a week with her. But I've been around her enough as a godly woman. Right? So this is a new season, and together with them coming on board, they're going to see things differently that, you know, when you get in the slog of things, and we've been doing life together for some of us for years and years and years, and sometimes we don't see some of the things. So having some of that outside perspective is going to be a beautiful thing. So are we ready to take the land that Father's going to continue to reveal to us? So we are in Exodus chapter 19. We're going to look at some scripture this morning. I'll try to keep it where it needs to go. Exodus chapter 19, and there's, again, all these things. And again, I encourage you, it's been a while since I slogged through Exodus, but even as I was just kind of reading through this week, I was like, man, this is an amazing book to read through. I mean, there's a lot of familiar things, but you just think about the journey that the children of Israel have been on up to this point. They've just come out of Egypt, and all things have happened there, and all the things that they've gone through, even to this short time in their journey. And they're here at Mount Sinai, and God's kind of reminding them what has happened. He's kind of giving them some instructions, and we come down to verse 16 of Exodus 19. On the morning of the third day, there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain. And a very loud trumpet blast, so that all the people in the camp trembled. Then Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God, and they took their stand at the foot of the mountain. Now, Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke because the Lord had descended on it in fire. The smoke of it went up like the smoke of a kiln, and the whole mountain trembled greatly. And as the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him in thunder. The Lord came down on Mount Sinai to the top of the mountain. The Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. A lot going on in these few verses. Do you get the picture of this Mount Sinai? There's thunder and lightning and thick cloud on the mountain, and a very loud trumpet blast that did not come from a human horn, by the way. That shook all the people. There's a few people here. It shook all the people. And Mount Sinai is wrapped in smoke. And the mountain's trembling greatly. And the trumpet's getting louder. God tells Moses, yeah, come talk to me now. I love it. Like, you want to talk about something? I mean, I can kind of get a picture of what this looks like, but to me, it kind of what I even see is like, you know, an active volcano erupting with lava flowing all over the place, melting everything in its path, and God said, yeah, come on up. Walk up here and talk to me. That's the same kind of calling that Father's calling to us. May not look like this. That same kind of call, as I was looking at this, Father's like, you know what? I know I spoke to Moses like this in real, living color, physical. I don't think this is, you know, hypothetical or, you know, allegorical. I believe this really was happening. Actual event. Actual happened. If I'm not mistaken, if somebody knows more, it just popped into my head. Isn't top of this mountain still burnt? I mean, like, they don't know why it's like that. We know why it's like that, because God descended on it. Anyway, that just messes people up, right? So here's this call of Moses. God saying, come on up. And I love, because we know that God speaks in the still, small voice and all that kind of thing. But I love the Father speaks like this, too, because this is just, I don't know, as a man, this just speaks to my heart. It's like, man, what a challenge. What an adventure for Moses to go on. Even though he was had this relationship with God, I don't know, that might test my relationship a little bit. All right, God, this mountain's rocking and rolling, and you want me to walk up here? This ain't fire. Okay, here we go. Let's have some good times here, right? So he has this conversation with Moses. And then we jump into Exodus 20, starting verse 1. So God has this conversation with Moses, and then starting verse 1 of chapter 20. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of your house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make to yourselves graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water underneath, under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the fathers on the children of the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but, you know it's my favorite word, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. Love how that ties into the end of 1 John, where it says, little children, don't have any idols. And here's God saying in Exodus chapter 20, don't make any idols, because I am a jealous God. I've called you to take this land. And he knew he had to reiterate this over and over again, because there was the people of the land had lots of idols that they bowed down to. And God's like, man, I'm showing you who I am and the power that you get to access. But here's the thing. They didn't even have they had God to follow. We know that they had a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. I can kind of imagine, we can imagine, you know, we've seen really weird cloud formations. But no one has ever seen a pillar of fire floating down, in the sky. We've seen lightning. We've seen some really cool things. But a pillar of fire, I think it was a big, massive thing. So I think it gave them like heat when at cold desert night, right? And the pillar of cloud gave them shade by day. So this calling, God's provided for them, and he's just like, look, this is who I am. This is what I tell you not to do. Don't have any images. Don't make any graven images. I have brought you out of the house of slavery. I need to hear that, because it's like, as I was just reading that just now, Father's like, right, and some people don't believe they have a land to take because they're still believing they're in slavery. They believe that they, because of what their life has been up to this point, or their something in their past that they think that has disqualified them from taking the land, that is slavery mindset, that is not freedom mindset. And we have to have this mindset, I am a freed son, daughter of the living God who tries to tell us what he's like here in Exodus 19. The power we have access to take the land that he's called us to take, and it feels like there's some days it's like, I don't have what it takes. You're right, you don't, but he does. And the enemy's going to come. He doesn't want us to attack these giants that are in our valley. He doesn't want us to attack the giants of abuse and all the things that are going on and suicide and isolation and you name it. Those are all giants in our land that we see the effect of every single day. And the scripture all this came based out of is, jump ahead a couple chapters to Exodus chapter 24, or 23, excuse me. So again, from those other chapters, he's given them more laws to follow. And starting in verse 23 of 20, we're not going to read. I'm going to jump to the verses I want to look at, but I just kind of give you an overview. Go back and read through this. He's kind of given them what the conquest of Exodus 23, starting in verse 20. He's given them kind of like what it will look like if they follow, what the conquest of Canaan will look like, what will happen if they just obey him and serve him, and the blessings he will give them. And all these years ago, I read these couple of verses, and it's just like, wow, what huge truth. In verse, starting in verse 29, he's talking about how, he says, I will not drive them out from before you in 1 year. He's talking about the people of the land. Lest the land become desolate and the wild beasts multiply against you. Little by little I will drive them out from before you until you have increased and possess the land. And I will set your border from the Red Sea to the Sea of the Philistines, and from the wilderness of Euphrates, for I will give the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and you shall drive them out from before you. You shall make no covenant with them and their gods. They shall not dwell in your land, lest they make you sin against me, for if you serve their gods, it will surely be a snare to you. And I love the faithfulness of God. And we think about, like, even just in our day, in our time, we think about all these things we want to accomplish. We want to drive out these enemies. We want to attack the giants of our culture. But here's the thing, and I know I've said this multiple times from here. Are we prepared to take the land? Are we prepared to have an increase of broken, busted people walking in to this building on a Sunday morning? Are we ready? What would happen if God said, you know what, you're ready. I'm gonna triple your numbers. Because if I remember right, the early church, that's what happened. He added to their numbers daily. And thousands of people in one day got saved. And you want to talk about a logistic nightmare, right? But here's the thing. I believe God's been really gracious and patient with us. Us mean Wasilla Community Church, because I believe, I'm not saying I want to be a mega church. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying if Father wants to bring people in here, are we ready to disciple them? Are we ready to love on them? Are we ready to walk with them in their mess? Are we ready to let go of the things that have held us captive, that beat us up for years, and we're bringing that forward, and we're getting it on each other, and it's turning into big messes, and like, let's let that go. And I love how God's like, look, I'm not going to drive them out in 1 year. He's given us a lot more than 1 year. I believe he's been preparing us, and again, I've been praying for this for a long time, and Pastor Mike is a big piece of us moving forward, and I'm not like putting him on a pedestal, please hear that, and he'll knock himself off the pedestal, right? That's not what I'm saying, but I'm just saying there's pieces and components that, and it's not that we haven't had all those things, but when you have these people that God brings in, and he helps us all, like I said, when we get to this place of like, look, I'm preparing here. And I don't want to increase your numbers and leave the people desolate in the midst of your building. And that can look as simple as when visitors come in and we get so used to talking to the people that we always talk to. And our visitors walk in and nobody ever greets them. And they come in and they sit in the back row. And as soon as somebody starts preaching, they're gone. And one of our doormen might get a chance to say goodbye to them. That's tragic. That shouldn't happen. But it's God's the one that he drives out them. And he will increase and he will possess. And I think so often we get frustrated with the timing. Even for me, there's been many, many days and many, many hours where I'm frustrated. Father, why is it not looking like the vision that you gave me years and years and years ago? There's lots of reasons for that. And a lot of it has to do with where I am and where I have been. The things that Father's still carving out of me to get rid of. So this isn't about y'all doing it wrong. I'm talking about this is all the things that still need to be carved out of me so I can inhabit the land the Father has called me to take. And what I love about here is like God will set our borders. I love that. He sets the borders. And he's the one that drives out the people. He's the one that drives out the enemies. And our calling before God is we step into this idea of what's the land, that when we step into that land, because there's going to be people in that land that we need to love on, but they're going to be stuck in things that we shouldn't be part of. And it's a really fine line to walk to be in their life but not be in covenant with them. There's a big difference. We shouldn't ever be in covenant with someone who is not a child of God. Because like he says here, their idols and their gods are gonna ensnare us and cause us to not fulfill the calling on our lives. Man, I am still super excited about what Father is going to do in the midst of this family here. And I keep using that word intentionally, and I know there's a lot, family means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. But see, here's the thing. Part of my calling, I know, is to redefine that word to Scripture. Family shouldn't be, the word family and father shouldn't be instantaneously cause people to just want to throw up. Because that's where some people are. And it breaks my heart. That's part of my calling before fathers, like, is to give them a different definition by how I live my life in front of them. And I'm not in covenant with these people, but I'm going to get into their life and live a life that hopefully is different. That they laugh hysterically when they find my pastor. That's still my best response. right? Because I want to mess up what their thought process is, because unfortunately the bride has, the church people have made a mess of it. And we can apologize, and I don't think people, again, are looking for perfection, but again, what is our calling? What has God, what is the land God has called us to take? And again, for all of us, there's individual little pieces of that. I get it. But man, I know what it looks like to do things together. All of us pulling in the same direction. All of us having the same mind. All of us having the same understanding. This is what we're going to do, and we're not going to do anything else. I think it was Nehemiah that was building the wall. Somebody's trying to get him to do something else. He's like, I'm doing a good thing. I cannot come down. That's got to be our heart. I can't come down. I can't be deviated from what Father has called me to do. We also, the community church, cannot be deviated from what Father has called us to do. And it's really simple. Pieces of it. And I've been harping on this for a long time, and I will always harp until I can't talk anymore. He's called us to love each other, love God, and make disciples. Be disciples, be disciple makers. That's part of the land that I believe that our, that's our calling. That's our land to take. So that's inside the church. Are you ready to be a disciple? Are you ready to be a disciple maker? It's easy to say, yeah. It's a lot of work. But the thing I love about what we looked at this morning, God does all the work. My job is just simply not be in covenant with those people who aren't child of God. I don't treat those people badly. I love on them. I care about them. I try to show them different. But I'm not going to be in covenant with them. Our lives must look different. But not different like what they picture a Christian to look like. Let's show them something different. Let's show them the kind of Christian that would draw people to Christ, not the one that repel them because we hate them. We hate all the things they do. We hate that they're sinning. God. I believe Scripture, I keep saying this, I believe Scripture does not tell us they will know we are His disciples by how we what? Love one another. What is your land to take? If you don't know, I guarantee if you ask Father, He'll tell you. It'll be obvious. And He's already preparing the land. He already knows how He's going to take out the issues, the problem things that you're going to have to face. He's already got the solutions for that. All you got to do is stand up and step out and go, I'm going to take this land. I'm going to be like Caleb when he was 80 years old. I want the hard ground. Give me that. I want all the big people. Give me that. I don't want the easy stuff. I want the hard stuff. Give me that. Sign me up for that. Give me a church full of people. I want the hard stuff. Give me the hard people. Careful what you ask for, all right? Because then you get a preacher like me, all right? But I would say that's the land Caleb wanted. On top of all the things they already conquered, at the end he's like, I want that land. Father God, this morning as we, I pray that your words were spoken, that we heard this morning, just as I heard this week, son, you have some land to take. Son, there's some things in your life that still need to be weeded out. Son, there's still a relationship with me that still needs to be tighter. Son, if I called you like I called Moses in that extreme situation on the mountain, would you run toward me or would you run away in fear? Father, to the best of my ability, you know what my answer is to those questions. want you to continue to drive out the things in my life that aren't of you. I want you to continue to reveal those things and continue to draw me closer, not just for my sake, but Father, all of us in that place. As your sons and daughters this morning, we're all called to that. Father, I pray that you reveal the land you want us to take, individually and then collectively, as we, it just becomes clearer and clearer. I just pray you have your will and your way in our lives. Like that last song that we just sang, that we sang a few moments ago. Father, I pray that our hearts are, we surrender. We surrender our agendas. We surrender our past. We surrender our brokenness. We surrender all those things that would hinder us from having the impact and the adventure of taking the land when you tell us to take it and not have to wander around for 40 years. But take it when you tell us to take it. Thank you for your love this morning. Thank you for your calling us to this amazing adventure of life with you. In Jesus' name, amen. We are going to finish this morning with communion. If you've been part of us for a while, we practice, I don't know if they call it open communion, but if you're a child of God this morning, that's the only requirement, to partake in communion this morning. And I lost my place. That's good. Here's my marker. First Corinthians 11. Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Again this morning, as we come forward to partake, there'll be cracker and juice up here, and just take the cup and the cracker and go back to your seat. Time of private reflection, as you remember what Jesus did on the cross for us. And again, we do this every month, and I don't want ever to be routine or just become as part of our culture and part of tradition or part of something that we do, but that we remember. That's because of this moment in time that we get to have this amazing adventure, that we get to have this land to take, that we get to be part of God's family. So remember that as you come forward this morning. Thank you. God, again, we just thank you for this time. Jesus, we thank you for your sacrifice. We thank you that we can remember this. And again, I pray it's not just this one time that we do this a month, but that we're reminded over and over again. When the enemy comes at us and says, man, you're not worthy, and we say, right, I am not. But Jesus' blood, it makes me worthy. Because he has washed away all my sin. Sin and death is defeated because of the power of the blood. Father, I pray we walk in that every single moment. And Jesus, it's in your mighty name that we ask, and we have the right to ask and pray and have this relationship. It's in your name.